Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Get Yourself the Job. I'm Allison Garrido. I'm a career coach and filling in for Jennifer Hill today, who is out of the office. So I'm really excited to be here with you and to welcome Sandy Abrams to our show. Sandy's with us today as a longtime entrepreneur, author of Your Idea, Inc., and now Breathe to Succeed, which was just published in May. So that's really, really exciting. The book has been endorsed by executives all over the world, from Arianna Huffington to Mark Bertolini, and executives from SAP, Sage Software, and the U.S. Air Force. Sandy's been a contributor to the HuffPost, Thrive Global, and shares insights on small business, entrepreneurial life, and health and wellness. Sandy credits her sanity and success to 30 years of taking the principles of yoga and breath practice off the mat and into her entrepreneurial life. She's consulted as a small business thought leader for brands like Capital One, LegalZoom, Sage Software, and Marriott, and she leads Breathe to Succeed experiences to share the power of breath for success and wellness. She's led these at Google, Universal Music, formerly Weight Watchers, and multiple other organizations and women's and entrepreneurial events. So we are so, so excited for Sandy to be here today to talk about all of her work, and in particular, her new work and book around Breathe to Succeed. Thank you so much, Sandy, for being here.
Thanks for having me, Allison.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as I was preparing for this interview, I was so excited, and it was hard to narrow down the number of questions to ask you.
Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. So let's just start at the beginning. Can you share with us a little bit about your journey and what led you to your Breathe to Succeed book and being with us today?
Yes. So my entrepreneurial journey began in 1993 when I had a product idea for a silly moisturizing glove because I needed one, and I decided to make one. And that led to launching a business that became a full-time business. And I had no business experience before that. I graduated college with a degree in broadcasting and journalism. And so after about 15 years of running my business called Moisture Jams, I wrote my first book, which was called Your Idea, Inc., as you mentioned. And that was to help other first-time entrepreneurs turn a product into a real business. And that led me to working with some of the brands that you mentioned and talking at conferences and trade shows. And over the past 2 or 3 years, that's where I saw this shift, a huge shift in entrepreneurs and anyone really in the business sector. And it was this new normal that was, you know, technology infused, and there was anxiety and overwhelm and burnout. And I really felt like I needed to share the practices that have really kept me centered and grounded throughout my entrepreneurial life. And so that's what led me to today with Breathe to Succeed, the book and the workshops.
Wow. Wow. That's really amazing. So you've had your hands in a lot of different pies throughout this journey.
Yes. I love that part of it. Yeah. It's always challenging, and always enjoy creating opportunities.
Yeah. So with you, you mentioned anxiety, overwhelm, and burnout, right? So like the three things that we're all feeling a lot and feeling overwhelmed by. When you were starting to realize that you were feeling those things, what did that look like for you, and what resources did you turn to?
It looked, and it's interesting because, so I launched my business in 1993. I had started yoga in 1989. So this is like 30 years now of doing yoga. But just a few years into my yoga practice, I realized how powerful the breath was. Mm-hmm. After, you know, years of classes where teachers would say that Shavasana, the last pose of the class where you lie still just for even like 3 minutes, was the most important pose, I used to kind of roll my eyes and think, how could that be? You're just sitting still. Like, that's mm-hmm. not productive. Uh-huh. And then it was an aha moment for me one day when I realized the power of three deep breaths in that last yoga pose. And that was when I started to take those deep breaths and learn to be mindful as I grew my business, because there's always something new being thrown at you when you're starting a new job or starting a new position or a new business. And so I just started to, rather than be overwhelmed or scared, I started to be more aware of being able to shift my thoughts and energy with just a few deep breaths and a positive thought, and learning how to be more present and clear as I made decisions throughout the day. Because if you think about it, it's the small decisions that really aren't so small in the long run. And so now those tools are more relevant than ever, because, as you mentioned, the overwhelm and the anxiety that has come from our tech-centric lives, these tools work just phenomenally well today. And that's why I'm sharing them now, because while they've been around for thousands of years, it's so relevant today for people to be able to have this quick, powerful tool to get it back in touch with themselves, even in 90 seconds of taking a few deep breaths, reconnecting to yourself and asking yourself, do I feel overwhelmed right now? Do I feel anxious? And then finding a way to change it through just a few deep breaths and a positive thought is sort of like the breath 101.
I love that, because I think when we think of mindfulness, it's like so many people go to, I don't have time for a 4-day silent retreat, right? And it's like, yep. No, you don't have to have time. You don't have to go on a 4-day silent retreat or have this extreme giant change. It's really, I mean, and even when you were talking about it, you went from 3 minutes of breathing at the end of a yoga practice down to something as quick as 3 deep breaths. Everyone has time for those 3 deep breaths.
Exactly. And I think that the idea of meditation is really off-putting to so many people, myself included, that I don't want people to get caught up in the label of like, what is this? Is it a system? Is it meditation? Is it, you know, what exactly is mindful breath? And I mean, mindful breath is a sort of meditation, but it's really just a simple practice. And that's what makes it accessible, is that it's whatever you want it to be. It's customizable for everyone. And while I talk about a whole variety of different breath techniques in the book, it can really start with 3 deep breaths. So for people who say, I don't want to meditate, I don't have time to meditate, like, those are my people, because mm-hmm. that was me. And so I'm just saying, just sort of raise the bar on self-awareness, and sort of, even if you have to program reminders on your phone, maybe 3 times a day, do that in the beginning, so that when you get that reminder, it's that reminder to be self-aware, to check in with yourself, to stop running on the autopilot or letting technology dictate where your attention goes, and just simply check in. How am I thinking? How am I feeling? What's my energy like? And if you're not feeling 100%, or if you're feeling more on the negative side than positive, start by just taking 3 deep breaths and switch your thoughts and program something positive, like, I am present, I am capable, I am ready, you know, whatever. It's just the idea of checking in with yourself and switching from negative to positive, transforming your energy in just a few deep breaths.
That's really interesting that you share, because I was tuned into you saying that we have to have that positive thought at the end, the positive thought at the end. So I was actually wondering, is it usually that your positive thought is reframing something that's bothering you? Or do most people have the same positive thought or the same affirmation that they're doing over and over? Is there a right or wrong?
I mean, I don't feel like there's a right or wrong. As the only wrong is if you have that negative dialogue that's constantly going on in your head. But I find it really strategic to switch up the positive mantra based on what you need at any given moment or any given day. And so, you know, on some days you might just need to calm yourself and chill. And so you might direct your mind and body with, I am at ease. I am calm. Everything's going to be fine. But on other days, maybe you have a big presentation or you have a big interview and you want to empower yourself. And so that's where those positive mantras can be really strategic. And you can literally, like, it's science. You literally are changing your neural pathways and the chemistry and the chemicals that are then processing in your body. And so yeah, so that's why, I mean, there's nothing wrong with having the same positive thought over and over, but you can get a lot more strategic.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of re-engages, right? If you don't have the same thing you say over and over, right? I wonder if that over and over thing might become the autopilot thing. You know, sometimes you don't notice the thing that you're doing over and over, but when you're really tuning in to how you're feeling and saying, what do I need? Where do I need to direct this positive energy? That can be really impactful.
Yes, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that if people don't switch it up. But that's true. That's a great point. And I suggest people just start to experiment because, you know, there isn't really a wrong or right except a negative versus positive. And so that's where the magic kind of begins, is where you begin to test the waters and see if you tell your body and your mind that you are this, can you actually feel it? And then go into that interview or meeting or whatever, feeling really empowered.
Yeah. And I love the idea of taking that proactive approach too. Mm-hmm. I know you and I talked about this a little bit when we were preparing for the call, but there's all these things that can have us be reactive in the moment. And I often am talking to people about how you can react and kind of reframe things. But there's also the proactive things of making sure you're well prepared for those things that just inevitably pop up. So an interview doesn't just pop up, right? We can prepare for those and be proactive. But I think your point about three times a day doing the breathing, that makes a difference, because if you're already kind of calm and coming from that place of knowing what's happening in your body and what's happening to you, it's much easier to face those inevitable things that pop up with a little more ease.
Absolutely. And the truth is, the more you practice tapping into those three deep breaths and the positive thought, the quicker that it happens when you need that empowerment in the moment. So with each little deep breath session that you do, you're getting your body used to it. And soon enough, your body begins to crave it. So you no longer need those reminders. And then also, when you're in the midst of something, you know, or you're in an interview or in a pitch meeting and someone asks you something that's like a little curveball, you can tap into that place of clarity and patience and not respond. Not react, but yet you can respond with more clarity and patience and open-mindedness. And so, yeah, the more you do it, the easier it is to tap into whatever you need in the moment.
Yeah, it's like you're preventatively preparing for whatever might come your way.
Yes, yes. So that you're much less impulsive and that you're okay with the silence sometimes. You know, a lot of people aren't comfortable with silence after a question is asked. And And sometimes you just need like that extra 5 or 10 seconds to formulate something or to think about something clearly. And so becoming okay with the sense after
you are in a pitch meeting might feel like it's 5 minutes, but it's still just 3 seconds, right? And that 3 seconds can be make all the difference in the world for you to come back with something that you're feeling really good about, as opposed to just something on the fly that has come out because you feel like you have to say something within the 1 second.
Exactly. Exactly.
So when you're going into those companies, the Googles of the world and those big corporations, tell me, what are the kinds of things that they're struggling with? Because I think of this work as with individuals, but when you're working with a group, how's that different? How are you supporting groups to do this work?
Well, there are sort of two components to that. It is supporting them as a group, as a collective group occasionally, like if they have a common goal that they want to reach. For example, I had a group of leaders last year, and they wanted to focus on exponential growth. They wanted in the next year to have bigger business, not just incrementally of 10 or 15%. They wanted like 20 times business growth. And so we talked about how shifting your perspective is really like one of the most powerful things that you can do to become more open-minded. And so we can work on something like that that has a theme, but also it really does come down to individuals practicing and becoming like-minded and understanding the importance of when you are working in a group that you need to be collaborative. And and a lot of times people, the first question is, okay, I want to be more open-minded. I want to be more collaborative with this group of people, but how do I do it? And breath, mindful breath, is that bridge. It's that gateway to shifting your perspective, shifting your attitude, and seeing things differently. And so that's where then these different breath practices can come in because, for example, you can practice alternate nostril breathing is a technique that people love to use, and it balances the left and right side of the brain. And so these are techniques that you can do individually, but also as a group, maybe before you're working on a project, everybody sits for 90 seconds and does alternate nostril breathing or takes a few deep breaths and says a mantra. So there are ways to do it both individually and collectively, but knowing that people that you're working with are on the same page about trying to come together and be open-minded and connect and engage in a new way, and that really changes the game.
I can imagine. And thank you for sharing the alternate nostril breathing, alternate nostril breathing as a technique, because I think we often think about tapping into our breath, like, right, that is a breathing technique, but people don't really think about what is the next level. Like, how can there be a whole book on breathing, right? And right. It's because there are all those different tactics, as you mentioned, right? And you just named one on our call, so that there's a whole book full.
Exactly. There's a whole book full. And there's also sort of my holistic view of wellness that, like, how, you know, like, when is a great time to be mindful and have a breath practice? And for people who are just starting to become open-minded to the idea of it, I talk about the power of morning ritual. And I've never met anyone that doesn't have a morning beverage that they love, whether it's coffee or tea or whatever it is. And so I talk about starting there with your favorite beverage, and whether you're waiting in line for your coffee or tea or drink. And maybe that's where you sort of think about your day and what are your priorities going to be and how's your energy going to be? What are your thoughts going to be? And so I talk about other things in the book besides breath tools. I share my favorite morning beverage recipes also, and talk about different times of the day and how to integrate these habits. Because the best practices are really the things that you're going to do. And so recently, I think it was Arianna Huffington was talking about this new thing called habit stacking. Have you heard of that?
I haven't. No, I'm excited to learn more.
It's like stacking a new habit, like, for example, mindful breath, onto habits that you already have ingrained in your daily routine. So, mm-hmm. for example, you know that you're going to fill your water bottle several times during the day. Well, at the same time, now maybe that's your time to check in with yourself and ask, how are your thoughts? How are your energy? What do you need to breathe into? You know, you're going to get in your car and commute to work during the day. Use that first 3 minutes before you turn on your radio or make a call and just spend, you know, 90 seconds thinking about taking a few deep breaths and, again, checking in with yourself. And so when you begin to form this habit of just attaching something else to something that you know you're going to be doing, it's an easy way to begin to integrate the mindful breath.
Yeah. And how, so I love the idea of starting, you already have a lot of habits, right? So when you think, oh gosh, here comes a new one, well, which one will I have to give up, or how will I change my life? So that habit stacking is so impactful. And when people start the habit of paying attention to their breath, or having that mantra, or really thinking of how they're starting their day while they're actually starting their day, how long before people kind of stop noticing and have to stop making a conscious effort to do it, but it really becomes second nature in your experience?
Well, they say scientifically that it can take a couple months for a new habit to become a natural thing. But I've found through my workshops and the feedback that with this, it really doesn't take that long, because you begin to crave the quiet and the unplugged moment. Because the truth is, we are all sort of overwhelmed with technology. And you know, I think we've hit the tipping point, because it's been at least 10 years since we all started using smartphones. And, you know, at first it's so exciting and it's such a great resource, and we absolutely love all of it. But I think for most of us that have been using it for 10 years, we've hit this tipping point and we see the benefit of these quiet moments of stillness throughout the day. And so it becomes a little bit easier to form this habit. But even, you know, if you give yourself a month or so, you'll definitely see the results. But I've seen that it happens faster than trying to integrate something that you might not want to integrate into your life, but you know that you need to eat better or something like that, that's not as immediately gratifying as mindful breath is. So it happens, I think, sooner than people think.
Yeah. And there's that piece to it of just try, right? You don't have
exactly
to commit to doing it forever, but just see how it goes. Might work for you.
Exactly.
Sure,
and it feels really good. And it's also about making it enjoyable for yourself. So for example, when I first began, I started to use aromatherapy in the mornings. I would love to just like spray something that was energizing, like citrus scents. And I talk about this in the book too. Aromatherapy is a really powerful way to spray something that already you have a great feeling about. So whether it's lavender or rose or citrus scents, you spray something and it makes you want to take a few deep breaths. And it also usually takes you back to a positive emotion of some sort. And so make it something that's enjoyable for you. Attach it to taking a walk outside in the morning for even just a few minutes and breathing in the fresh air while you're looking at the sky or you're looking at some beautiful flowers. Maybe, you know, late afternoon when you need that pick-me-up, instead of grabbing something sugary, you know, go take a walk or do something that makes you feel good while you're taking some mindful breaths. And that's what makes it not so hard to want to come back to all the time, because you realize, like, that made me feel really good. It's breath is like a superfood. It really, it nourishes your mind and body and your soul. And you start to just feel this alignment of your mind and body. And without getting sort of weird or yoga about it or abstract, it's just, it really can be magical, because getting back to the technology component, a lot of times our mind is somewhere else and our body is in a different place. And so it's the simple act of taking that inhale and you literally connect to the part of your brain that regulates emotions, and you've all of a sudden reconnected your mind and body. And so you're in alignment, and that's where the magic begins. That's where you realize, oh, wow, I can create my best energy. I can create my thoughts instead of just running on autopilot all the time. It's really empowering to realize that, and what a gift it is that we can actually change our thoughts and energy at any minute, at any second.
Yeah. They're tools that are available to us and free and like literally within us, right? Yes. There's nothing you have to do but pay attention.
I know. And I feel like if we had to buy them, people would be buying this, like we'd be standing in line at Starbucks, right? Like,
love
and it. Give me an extra shot of that breath. Mm-hmm. But it's like, because it's something that we can do automatically, people are like, well, I'm breathing anyway. But like, it just takes a couple times to realize that's just like getting plain black coffee. You know, our regular shallow breath is just the default mode, and you want something more and something better. And it's just a matter of tapping into it. Yeah, it's accessible. There's no calories. There's no allergens. It's free. It's like there's not a bad side to tuning into your breath and letting it help you become more, you know, you reach goals effortlessly. You start to realize, you know, what's happening around you a little bit more, and things just start to feel better, and you have this more optimistic view of things. And they do say that in business, optimism is one of the most important character traits for, you know, for keeping at things and being persistent and being a good communicator and connecting with people. Being optimistic and being grateful are two really important things.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that you will see what you're looking for. So if you have that optimistic outlook, things look pretty good, right?
Yes.
You'll start to find more things that look good. But the other way, the same things happen, right?
Absolutely. It's easy to test the waters and see, because, you know, and that's why, again, like when you find yourself waking up in the morning first thing and you're already nervous about the day, or you're already anxious, like you can take what's called lion's breath, and they're done quickly. It's like a long, deep inhale and a strong exhale where your tongue is out and your eyes are bulging, and you're like, you can immediately get rid of any negative thoughts or energy, because you don't want to start the day on that note of already feeling anxious. And you can clear it. You can clear that anxiety with a few breaths.
Wow. So I hope this isn't a silly question, Sandy, but what qualifies as a deep breath? How high do I need to count? What does this look like in like practical terms?
I love that question. There's no stupid question or silly question, because, and I'm, you know, I just am answering this from my own practice, but a deep breath to me means anything that is longer than your standard shallow automatic breath. And so the length of a deep breath is different for everyone, because what if you've been swimming for 25 years and you have like super great, amazing lung capacity? Even though I've been practicing breath for 30 years, my breath is not going to be as deep as that person who's an Olympic swimmer. So for me, it's, or for anyone, it's about just taking that long, deep, slow breath that feels amazing and nourishing. And that's what deep breath is to you. And the great thing is that you can expand what that means, but it's not necessarily important. But when I ask people in workshops, like, when was the last time you stopped and just took one long, deep breath? Most people say, yeah, it's been a while. So, but there are also different techniques, like, as you mentioned, the counting. For example, when you inhale to a certain count, say four, like one, two, three, for when you exhale and you make the exhale longer than the inhale, so you're exhaling for a count of 6 or 8, that brings on a feeling of relaxation. So there are certain ways to utilize breath counting, like that, where, you know, making the exhale longer brings on that feeling of relaxation. And there's also techniques that you can do where you're retaining your breath. So at the top of an inhale, you're holding your breath for a count of whatever feels comfortable, and then exhaling. And retaining your breath is a great exercise that helps you get outside of your comfort zone and learning to be comfortable with the discomfort, knowing that you find relief after you inhale again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. And then thank you for putting, wrapping words around those things that, right, we see, we do that sometimes, right? We hold our breath, we hold it, but you don't consciously think about what is that doing, what's happening in my body,
exactly.
Right? The exhale a little bit longer. There are things sometimes we naturally do when we're feeling relaxed, and that might be when we need it the least, or, you know, right? We naturally do that, right? When you think about, like, you go, you know, visit a friend's home, or you haven't seen a friend in a while, or you've been worried about somebody, and then everything works out. It's, you naturally take that big inhale and then exhale for a little bit longer. But, yeah. You know, it's what we naturally do when we're feeling relaxed, and to trick your mind into being relaxed, or rewire your brain or your thoughts. As you mentioned, it's really impactful to think about that.
Exactly. And I love that example of visiting a friend, and you just start to become a little bit more self-aware of being present and being in the moment. And also, there's nothing like the human connection that we're not getting when we're always on technology, and nothing can replace that friend to friend, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, eyeball to eyeball encounter. It doesn't produce, I mean, science says that it does not produce the same chemical, even if we're giggling over a conversation that we're texting each other and we know each other really well. It does not produce that oxytocin, that chemical that we'll have when we're together. And so, so beginning to realize the power of breath. Also, one other thing, one other technique that's great for business people is clearing your head and making room for new ideas and for creativity. Because often we'll be at work and we need to come up with something creative or something new, but our mind will really only get creative when it has this sort of blank canvas. So you know how when you say, oh my, I have my best ideas at 3 a.m. or in the shower, or when I'm walking on the beach, and it's science. There's a reason for that. We're not going to have our best thoughts when we have 30 tabs open on our laptop and we're looking at that while we're, you know, tapping our pen thinking, okay, I got to come up with something creative.
Hurry up. Be creative.
Right, hurry up. Yeah, it doesn't work. And so there's this one breath called bumblebee breath, which you take a long, deep inhale, and on the exhale, you close your ears and you close your eyes, you cover your eyes, and you make this humming sound on the exhale. And it sort of feels like there's a bunch of bees inside your head that are dissipating all of those open tabs. And maybe you do 3 rounds or 5 rounds of this bumblebee breath, and when you're done, you feel like, okay, your mind is open and clear, and then you can welcome new ideas and feel like you can get those creative juices flowing. So yeah, there's so many ways to utilize the power of breath to make yourself more, you know, to tap into your optimal energy and thoughts and get to where you need to be. Again, it's like when you want to be at point B, but you're at point A, breath is that bridge. Like, if you can begin to realize that, there's this quote that I love that says, fear is excitement without breath. And that really just exemplifies the fact that breath transforms emotion and it transforms energy. And so when you realize that you can move from point A to point B, if you just utilize a certain kind of breath, it's pretty empowering.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love these new practices and all the names that go along with them. I can't wait to try them out. So you share on your website ways to unplug. What are some ways that you're finding that people really enjoy or really, I know, I'm sure it changes all the time, but what are some things that people are really enjoying at the moment around ways to easily unplug?
I think that nature is, especially now, I mean, we're in the summer season. And so, but really for me all year round, like nature is the best way to just disconnect and unplug for a minute and step outside and breathe in the fresh air. And whether it's hot or cold or raining or snowing, there's always this fresh air that will rejuvenate and energize you. And a lot of people, once they realize that, you know what, I need to step away for a second, you know, and people find whatever it is that is their happy place. And that's the best way to unplug, is to do whatever makes you happy, whether it is maybe it's listening to a favorite song, maybe it's breathing in that aromatherapy that you love, maybe it's going outside for a minute, maybe it's picking up the phone and talking to someone. Maybe it's like old school, like going to a coffee store and not putting your earbuds in and not looking at anything and just looking at people. And, you know, so it's maybe it's picking up an old school magazine or a newspaper and just getting offline and doing something that is just feels good and feels like you can have a few minutes of quiet time and something that makes you happy.
Mm-hmm. You've talked about technology a lot as something that is distracting us and stopping us from breathing and stopping us from really connecting, and talked about how it's impacting our brains. Like, what do you have recommendations around, like, digital detoxes or how to use technology well but not let it use us somehow?
Yes, it's a great question. And I've had such a love-hate relationship with technology since I started with it. And I've written several articles about it. And I think that it all comes down to setting boundaries and doing things that work for you. Like, also, I've read a lot about the habits of highly successful people. And one thing that they all do is that they set these boundaries with technology, and especially in the morning. They don't open email right away, because when you do that, all of a sudden you've like opened the floodgates, and now what everybody else wants from you is what you're doing, instead of empowering yourself in the morning and getting centered and getting grounded. So I think that it's all about setting boundaries. And one other technique that's really great for setting boundaries, external versus internal, is simply closing your eyes. And most people, I found from my workshops, never ever close their eyes in between waking up and going back to bed in the evening. Whereas I close my eyes probably a dozen times in between, even if it's just when I'm taking one or two or three deep breaths, I close my eyes. And that's another way to set a boundary, because you'll find yourself immediately sort of turning off the external stimuli and going inward. So I think that we all have a level of love-hate relationship with technology these days. And it's about becoming more self-aware of it and realizing that you can set boundaries. And maybe you have a tendency, like I did, to like read one article, think that you're just going to read one article online, but you end up in that rabbit hole of checking 10 other things. And then before you know it, an hour is gone. And so you start to become aware of your habits and patterns with technology. And when you're self-aware of the time that you're wasting online, you begin to think, okay, I need to make some changes. And so setting boundaries is a really great way to start to combat the effects of technology.
Yeah, those are awesome, awesome tips. I know the exact moment. It was on a milestone birthday. I was going away and I turned off my notifications on my phone. And so, and it was years ago now, and it's just now when I'm checking my email, I have to go through all those steps of, you know, hitting the icon and turning on my phone. But it those little tiny things, right? Like it just like, it's a barrier, right? For me to just instantly be in it. I have to choose when I'm in it. And just those, like you said, those tiny, tiny things end up being really impactful.
Yes, but that I love that you brought that up, the notifications, the turning off of the notifications is not tiny. It's huge and it's brilliant. And that was kind of that was game changing for me as well. And I don't have I hardly have any pop-ups now on my cell phone because I'll get to my email when I get to it. I'll get to that social feed when I get to it. And yes, turning off those notifications is one of the best things that we can all do because otherwise it is our phones that are always going to be dictating where our attention goes. And you're never like in that productive zone anymore or, you know, that chunk of time where you're really feeling great and focused and centered on something. You're just always popping to another notification and it's so distracting and really takes a toll on your energy and productivity.
Yeah, they're not going to end. We're never going to run out of notifications, so we don't have to worry. If we need them, they'll be there.
Exactly. Great point.
Yeah. Oh, geez, Sandy, I feel like I could chat with you for so long, but I have just one final question before we wrap up and I have you share where people can find you. But I wonder, I know on your website, you share ways to immediately improve your executive decision-making through breath and mindset. And that's so very appealing, those things that are fast and impactful. And I wondered if you might share one of those ways to immediately improve the decision-making and mindset.
Yes, and I think I'll just go back to my first, like, breath 101 is to become self-aware of just asking yourself, what am I thinking? How am I feeling? And then taking 3 deep breaths and manifesting the energy that you need in that moment to make better decisions. Nobody knows better than you do what you need in that moment, whether it's you know, having a difficult conversation with somebody, or whether it's answering a question for an interview, whatever it is, just take 3 deep breaths, decide what you need, and breathe into that energy. And you'll find yourself focused and clear, and you'll be able to be strategic about the decisions that you're making. It's that simple of just starting with being mindful and realizing that you have the power to choose your thoughts and energy and to choose wisely. And you can choose and change at any minute.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So we'll have your website and information on the book in the description of this episode. But can you share with people where what's your website and where to find some more articles and kind of keep in touch with you and the work you're doing?
Yes, thank you so much. My website is theceom.com. So it's T-H-E and then C-E-O-M.com. And my brand is CEOM. It's sort of taking charge mindfully is the meaning behind that. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram under my name at Sandy Abrams.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And I will certainly follow and like and share all the information that you've shared with us today and keep in touch. I really, really appreciate all the value you provided.
Thank you so much, Allison. It was a pleasure talking with you. Thank you.
Of course. Bye. And everyone have a great day. Jen will be back next week. See ya.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.